Today's reading is from Mark. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat before them and walked out, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to be before you again. I think we're in a series called Going the Extra Mile. And you need to know something about me, that my general stance in ministry really leans towards this sermon in the series. I really have a heart for community and have a heart for reaching new people. And so this Sunday, that's what our topic is, going the extra mile to reach new people. And I'm just excited for what God is doing, especially, you should know this before the start of the sermon, in the year of 2020, we have a goal as a congregation to reach 2020 new persons in the year of 2020. Does that make sense? So we're trying to reach 2020 in 2020. Did you get that? There's no way you can forget that. Somebody say 2020 in 2020. Now, if you will just help me out with my sermon title today, if you could just look up at the ceiling, look up at the roof just for a second, find a spot. Are you locked in? Are you locked in? Or just repeat after me. Somebody say, "The roof.
The roof.
The roof.
The roof.
The roof is on fire." I was wondering if you would do it or not, but you did it. Amen. Thank you. God, we are so grateful for just for your word and just for the many ways that you speak to us. Man, what a tough line in that song, "Let our hearts break for the things that break your heart." God, that's tough. But that's our prayer now, is that you would open up our hearts and you would open up our spirits so that we can receive the things that break your heart. So God, this is our prayer, and in Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. Going the extra mile to reach new people. Should know by now that word has spread that Jesus has arrived back in town. Now by this time, Jesus' reputation starts to precede him. He's already going through cities, healing and casting out demons. And by the time we get to the first chapter in Mark, Jesus can no longer enter into a town openly, so he would have to stay in these out-of-the-way towns and cities. And things are no different by the time we get to chapter 2, because Jesus arrives in his hometown and people start to just crowd around him. Now, word got around so fast that four friends made a commitment to carry their paralyzed friend to see Jesus. And like this paralyzed man, our deficiencies can become crippling as well. Because sometimes what cripples us prevents us from getting closer to Jesus. Now, life has taught me by this point, that we aren't the only ones carrying something. Truth is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most people who come to Jesus are carrying something. Now, it's not always on a mat, but most times it's just as heavy, it's just as cumbersome, and in many ways, it's just as crippling. Still have some areas of our lives that's so overwhelming, so painful, so shameful that whenever we think about exposing ourselves to God or to other people, it simply paralyzes us because our deficiencies can be crippling. In fact, one study says that one of the top reasons why people do not come to church is not because the preaching is bad, it's not because the choir can't sing, it is because of the fear of being judged. It is because of the fear that people will wonder, what would people say about me? What if no one accepts me? The truth is, we often talk about living in a culture where people don't go to church, but rarely do we address how have we evolved into a culture where many people, for whatever reason, feel like they can't come to church? Now, maybe they don't feel like they can come, as these four men realized as soon as they came and got close to Jesus, they ran into an obstacle. And maybe this is why it requires them to go the extra mile, because it didn't help that when they arrived, they immediately ran into obstacles. There was something or someone standing in their way. They first get to the house, and the house is so packed that they can't get inside. And truth is, it's packed with well-intentioned, real good church folk who have now become a stumbling block to this paralyzed man and his four friends. Now, here's what the text doesn't say. It doesn't say that anyone in this crowd woke up and said, "Today I'm going to be the biggest obstacle I can if anyone tries to get close to Jesus." Nobody woke up with that on their mind. Nobody went to this house in preparation to be a stumbling block or with ill intentions. But that is the culture that we live in. That is the landscape of ministry. Sometimes we are blocked by really good intentions. People working more than they've ever worked before. Kids having all kinds of activities every day, even on Sundays. And Lord forbid if you come into the house and sit in someone's assigned seat. Nobody means to. But what was blocking him that day were really good, well-intentioned people, because sometimes we can unknowingly get in the way of the move of God that is trying to do in someone else's life. It was great that they were trying to get the message for them. It was great that they were trying to get their own prayers answered. But even as Pastor Mindy prayed, sometimes we are so focused on our own needs that we don't recognize the other needy people that are all around us. Now, I can understand it if these men would have turned right around or just waited until the crowd had become less heavy. I could understand that. But notice, when they couldn't get through the front door, they don't turn around. When they weren't successful the first time, they don't give up. But they also don't keep trying what hasn't been working for them. Can I give somebody permission? Can I help you? Can I give you some permission? If it hasn't been working for you, it's okay to try something else. It's So they tried what has never been done before with Jesus. In the biblical accounts of Jesus, there has never been a precedence for somebody to do what they are about to do. They decide, because there are so many people that are packing this house out, they decide, here it is, they decide to climb the house and remove the roof. Can you imagine the dialogue that's happening? I mean, what crazy person decided, listen, since we can't get in and we can't get around on the back, somebody in this group was crazy enough, somebody in this group was risky enough, somebody in this group decided if we can't get through the front door, then maybe it's a great idea to carry this paralytic up on this house and start removing the shingles on somebody else's roof. If nothing else, there are friends who were willing to go the extra mile. And it was in the middle of Jesus giving them words that could possibly change their lives, in the middle of a sermon, in the middle of the prayer, in the middle of their service, they climbed on top of somebody else's roof, on somebody else's home, that somebody else built, that somebody else is going to have to sleep under after they get finished tearing it apart. Now, some commentators suggest that many of these roofs back in the day were packed with dirt, straw, and manure. So they literally have to carry this paralytic up on top of the roof, and they're going to have to start digging through some stuff in order to get to Jesus. But I think it's not only a practical element, but sometimes I think it is the reality of sometimes what some people have to go through. Sometimes you've got to dig through so much stuff. You got to dig through so much denominational and religious stuff. You got to dig through people's stuff. You got to dig through the stuff on the people on your roll, and dig through the stuff on your past and what your family is expecting of you. Sometimes that is just the landscape of ministry. And it's just the world that we live in. Sometimes it just gets really dirty and messy trying to get to Jesus. But do you see, it was these four men with no resources, no internet, that decide to break the mold and break the precedence of how to get to Jesus. They go the extra mile. And it's a reminder that new problems can't always be solved by old solutions. St. Luke's, these four men 2,000 years ago broke religious precedents. You will not find this story told throughout the scriptures by many people. It was not like they looked at a playbook and decided that this has worked for many people. No, they decided this on the spot. They did what had not been done before them in order to bring this paralytic man to Jesus. It reminds me of the church in D.C., that paid off thousands of dollars of unpaid tuition bills to seniors that were getting ready to graduate from college. It's like the church I'm reminded of in South Jersey that wanted to clean up an area around the city, around in front of this one store that had a lot of bad activity in place, so they just decided they would just buy the entire store. It's the church in New York City that was trying to be innovative and creative and wondered, in the landscape of New York, where everybody is going to brunch and everybody's going to bottomless mimosas, how do we compete in the age like that? So they just started a dinner church and just invited people. You can come and have a free meal, and you can come and do liturgy and hear the word instead of spending your money. It's these four men with very little resources that now are thinking creatively and thinking outside the box. How can we get this paralytic man to Jesus? So what if church was a lab? What if church was a place where we explored new ideas and possibility? What if doing church was not simply a regurgitation of old ideas, but a lab where new perspectives and fresh perspectives and new ideas and groundbreaking creativity and roof-tearing ideas were birthed and born? If these four men with very little resources and no internet could devise a way to get this man to Jesus by climbing on somebody else's roof, if they could be innovative 2,000 years ago, can you imagine the innovation and the possibilities right in this very room? Can you imagine the creativity? Can you imagine the innovation? Can you imagine the things that are possible with just the people that are in this room? But understand, they're not making just a practical decision. Because little did they know, when they started tearing up the roof, they were making a theological declaration. Without saying a word, they were saying to the owner of the house, they were saying to this packed room, that the man on the mat was more important than keeping the roof intact. You see, too often we elevate the effectiveness of God's church based on our ability to maintain what is already there and not on our willingness to do whatever it takes to climb whatever problem so that other people can connect with God. So what if the roof wasn't a barrier but simply another door or another way of letting people in? What if we are called to create as many holes in the roof as possible? What if when Jesus called the disciples, he said, I will make you fishers of men and women. Now follow me and I'll help you save the roof. What if the Great Commission says, therefore, go and keep the roof of all nations. Make sure that they stay intact and nailing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Was it going to cost these men something? Absolutely, because it's so much easier to patch a roof than it is to fix a damaged adult or to fix a damaged family. It's so much easier to put nails in something as opposed to meeting needs. In fact, you may not believe this, but in the first church that I served, a lady that couldn't stand my guts. I mean, lady just absolutely hated me. To show you how deep-seated this hate was, we had a campaign in the church where we were going to pray and fast together for 40 days, and we were going to have to choose a prayer partner. And as a leader of the church, I decided, well, I have to have a prayer partner because I can't ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. So I announced to the congregation that the Lord had put on my heart who my prayer partner was supposed to be, and I pointed to the lady and said, ma'am, you're supposed to be my prayer partner, and if they could have read her lips, she felt like she had to dig through some stuff. I mean, she was absolutely disappointed that her pastor was going to be her prayer partner during this time of 40 days. In fact, I'm just giving you a little background and some of the deep seated dislike she had for me. So in the midst of this deep-seated dislike, there was a time in one of the services where five people, we baptized five adults on one Sunday. Again, this is a small congregation, so baptizing five adults who had never given their lives to Jesus Christ before, that was an absolutely win for us. These were not just coming from a different denomination, but these were people in our community who came and they wanted to join the church and they had never been baptized. And so, rest assured, this lady wrote me a letter the next day. She wrote me a letter the next day and said, Pastor, I cannot remember the last time I've seen five people join our congregation through baptism, and it was a wonderful sight, but, I told you it was deep-seated. She says, but, I noticed we didn't sing the Glory Patrie. I noticed we didn't sing the Glory Patrie. Now, I wanted to respond back real petty and tell her that this is not somebody's first and last name. Her name is not Glory. If you go write me a letter, at least get it right. You see, the problem was is that somebody had tore a hole in her roof. And so for her, it didn't matter that lives were getting saved and lives were being transformed, because in that service, she looked and didn't see her Glory Patrie. Can you imagine how many times that the Lord is moving right here among us and we miss it because of the holes that we see in the roof? So these men rise above the current problem. They climb up to the roof. They tear the roof apart. And they develop some contraction to lower the man in front of Jesus. And something crazy happens. The text doesn't say that Jesus notices the hole in the roof. Now, can you imagine this? Jesus is preaching. Jesus is preaching. It's a packed house, and Jesus is giving the word out to his hometown, and somebody starts tearing a hole in the roof while he's preaching, and Jesus says absolutely nothing. Jesus does not say, "What in the world are you doing?" But what Jesus does notice is he notices their faith. Not the hole in the roof. He notices their faith. He doesn't say, "Now, why in the world did you interrupt my good sermon?" He notices their faith. He doesn't even make mention of the faith of the person who's on the mat. And it's an important reminder that going the extra mile never was and never is a one-person job. Think about it. We don't know much about the man on the mat, and we don't know how tall he was or how much he weighed, but we do know that it took the strength of four able-bodied grown men to carry him around. It was a job too big for one person, and despite what we tell ourselves, there are some things that we were never meant to carry by ourselves. Reaching new people and connecting with new people, this is not a one-person job. This is not a one-ministry job, because for one person, for one paralytic, it required the work of four men, a willing and trusting paralytic, and somewhat of a patient homeowner, and a person like Jesus. When we talk about reaching new people, people get nervous because they immediately think of the solo mission that you got to do on your job, but you don't have to carry the work by yourself, because there are other people that God wants to connect you with to help you carry somebody's mat. So Jesus sees the man. They make all this disturbance. There's now a hole in the roof. Jesus sees the man because of the faith of his friends. You see, it wasn't just about tearing apart someone's roof, but the real work was the four men that spent days being actively engaged in the life of this man who could not help himself push through the obstacles long before they ever got through the door. Long before the house was ever packed, these four men were helping their friend. These four men were helping carrying his mat. This is not the first time they've ever had to carry his mat. And these weren't just any friends, but these were people that were invested enough in his life to carry him, but also cared enough about him to help him walk on his own. People who helped him shoulder his burdens. They were not simply people who cared, because if you can do this all by yourself, you can, but he couldn't. So these were people that were actively involved in his life. Now let's take a poll, because you can help me prove my point. Let's take a poll and be honest. Regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, how many of you came to the place where you are now, all by yourself, with no help from other people? Raise your hand high. Okay, maybe you didn't understand the question. Regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, regardless of where you are, how many of you got to where you are by yourself with no help from anybody else? Raise them high. Look around. You see that? At some point in your life, somebody influenced your faith. So here's the critical question: who could be influenced by your faith? Think of it like this: in this season of your life,
whose mat might God be asking you to carry? In this season of your life, who is God asking you to be actively involved and engaged in their life? Before we even talk about inviting an invitation, before that, these four men were actively engaged in this person's life. But it's still true. Do you know the number one way that people come to faith, the number one way that people come connected to the house of faith, do you know what's still the number one reason? It is not because service was great. It's not because technology is wonderful. It's not because the buildings are pristine. The number one way that people are still getting attracted and connected to the body of Christ with all of this technology and great marketing, the number one way that people are still getting connected is because somebody in their lives invited them. So whether you're a high school student or senior or somewhere in between, there's somebody that God is placing in your life so that you can be actively involved. Now, I have to answer the question that's in the room. Almost done. Give me a few minutes because I have to answer the question that's in the room. And I know it's not in the text, but it's in the text. The word got out that Jesus was in town and the house was packed. People came from all over with all kinds of needs. And let's not forget about the four friends carrying this grown man. And I don't care how small in stature somebody is, carrying a grown man up somebody's house, lower them to the roof, that ain't no easy job. Let's not forget about these four friends. And I mean, these are real people with real issues of their own. Even caregivers are not immune to their own places of needs. Of all these people, they are there because of Jesus Christ, and the text says the power was with them to heal, and yet the only recording that we get of healing is from this paralyzed man who's told your sins are forgiven and get up from your mat and walk. Listen again, packed house, faithful friends, people everywhere that have come to see Jesus, and the only person we know that leaves having their personal needs met is the person that was let down by a hole in the roof. So let me address the question in the room. Now let me confess, this is the 8th congregation I've been a part of. Somebody say 8. Now when you've been a part of 8 congregations, you start noticing some trends. Across denominations, across church sizes, and 100% of the time, I'm telling you, 100% of the time, whenever I've heard conversations lifted up about reaching new people, this one question is sure to follow. It's happened every congregation I've been a part of. You talk about new people, and there's always one question in the room. What's the one question in the room?
What about me?
Well, put the slide up. I told you, 100% of the, thank you. If I could give you a holy high five right now. 100% of the time, people ask the question, what about me? Because if the goal is to reach new people, what about the people who've already been here? I mean, these four friends carried this man, I don't know how many miles up a roof, and they didn't leave having their needs met. There were people that showed up long before these four men showed up. They packed the house out. Can you imagine how mad they were? They showed up early. They got their seats early. And now this knucklehead is being dropped down, and he leaves getting the healing. And you've been there all day long. You've been part of the church all day long. And now you got to talk about reaching new people. The assumption is, the question is, what about me? Because the assumption is reaching new people doesn't include me. The assumption when we're here, 2020, is that it doesn't include me. Well, let me see if I can help you out with this. Long before I'm dating myself a little bit. Long before there were anything called urgent care, whenever you had a situation or a medical problem, you either did one of two things. Either you made an appointment with a doctor or you went to the emergency room. Now, when you went to the emergency room, depending on what kind of condition you had, you knew that you were going to be in the emergency room for hours. In fact, when you went to the emergency room, while you were sitting there, you may have noticed that some people who got there after you got called before you. And that's because in emergency rooms, they have something called these triage levels or severity index. It simply means that you get seen by the doctor not based on how long you've been there, but by the severity of your issue. So someone with chest pains is going to be seen before someone with a sprained wrist. It's not a matter of importance. It's simply a matter of urgency. And for Jesus, people that are not already a part of the community of faith is an absolutely urgent issue. That's why Jesus preached in homes. That's why he preached in ships. In fact, later on in Mark, just a few verses down, the religious people wanted to know, Jesus, why you always eating with sinners? Why you always eating with tax collectors? Why you always hanging out with the people who are not a part of the fellowship? Jesus, why you always hanging out with those folk? That's when Jesus had to remind them and remind us that it's not the healthy people who need a doctor, but it's the sick. It's the people on the mats. It's the person who's not here. Because 2020 is not just about a number, but it's about your coworker. It's about your son. It's about your daughter. It's about your father. It's about your mother. It's about someone you know that the Lord has placed in your life. And to Jesus, that's an urgent matter. It's not the people who are healthy. We know how to navigate our way. But it's the person on the mat who needs to be let down by a hole in the roof. There's one pastor who says this to his church every Sunday, that I wonder what this looks like as we continue to live in this. Man, you can get ready. What it looks like for us to live in this. This pastor says to this church every Sunday, he says, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ, to reach people no one is reaching. We'll do the things no one is doing. We'll do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ, to reach people no one is reaching. We'll do the things no one is doing. Won't you pray with me? Lord, let our hearts be so attuned to your heart that what bothers you bothers us. Let not our pursuits of you become an obstacle for somebody else. Lord, at the same time as we seek you, let us make room for other people. Let us make room for the family that's not here. Let us make room for the elderly couple that's looking for a place of connection, the divorced person looking for a fresh start, the person looking to be reassured of their worth, the high school student still looking for meaning. Lord, if you either need to move us out of the way or give us patience to repair the roof, but help our hearts be attuned to you. That is the prayer of your people. In Christ's name, amen.